So one of the realities of my life is that I am a morning person, and I don't mind getting up and getting my day started, and I appreciate a good sunrise, but I'm finding as I crossed the 40 threshold that I'm waking up a little more and a little earlier than I would like to in the wee hours of the day. But it had me reflecting this week on times in my life when I chose to wake up very early. When I was working at camp, I would get up probably at least once a week to watch the sunrise above the mountains. And on a summer schedule, that means getting up, about 5 o'clock in the morning, grabbing sleeping bag and blankets and meeting friends on the porch of the lodge to watch the sun rise over the western side of Pike's Peak. And I loved those cold mornings wrapped in the warmth of a blanket and the presence of God. And there were mornings when there were clouds that reflected the light of the sun and made beautiful colors and patterns in the sky. And there were mornings when that sky was so clear that all you got was that burst of light as the sun came right over the mountains. Those dazzling early mornings are my very own transfiguration moment. In our gospel story today, Jesus takes three of his disciples up to a high mountain apart, and they see Jesus transformed with bright light and dazzling white clothing, and they are in awe of the presence of God as Jesus is changed before them. But this moment of glory and amazement in God's presence is very powerfully connected to something that happened 6 days earlier. As we're moving through this season of Lent, as I told the kiddos, we are exploring the theme of trust. Understanding that trust isn't just one big thing that we have or that we lose forever, but a series of building blocks that are created in our relationships with other people. And there are times when those building blocks are pulled out in a betrayal or in harm or in brokenness. And understanding the different facets of trust allows us to maybe figure out what we would do to keep our tower of relationship standing with someone. Our discussion about trust is about the trust that is between us, the space between people where we invest our love and our care and our trust. And we're going to be talking about trust in God, trust with God, and God's trust in us. And many of the facets of trust in our human relationships are also connected to the ways that our trust in God is shaped and built. But there's one unique thing about trust that seems to be most true in our relationship with God. And that unique thing is awe, is being dazzling brightness and amazed at the glory of God, and that our trust in God comes at least in part from the acknowledgement that God is bigger than we can imagine, and that God's vision for what is happening is bigger than we can understand. This space between us, the relationships that we have in our human lives, are a powerful way where we also understand our relationship with God. And we'll see some of those parallels and overlaps. But we're also going to explore what it means to sit in God's presence. So in our text today, before they're up on the mountain in the brightness of the light, Peter and the disciples and Jesus are gathered back in their home territory. And we are at a point in Jesus' public ministry where he's very aware that there is much he needs to prepare his followers for. Jesus knows how this is unfolding. He's aware of the tension and the increasing pressure from the scribes and the Pharisees and the powers of the day. So Jesus tells his followers that he will be killed, that he will suffer and die, and 3 days rise, 3 days later rise again. And Peter understandably thinks this is not a good thing to be broadcasting publicly. Because telling people that you're going to suffer and be killed and 3 days later rise again might speed up that process or increase the likelihood that it would happen. So Peter speaks from his place of care and concern and fear for his teacher and friend and says, maybe Jesus, you shouldn't say that out loud. And Jesus immediately turns it back around, and here's where I wish Jesus had done the leadership class where you learn to give correction in private. But he turns to Peter, and to Peter and through Peter, teaches the disciples and the crowds and Peter himself that the things that are driving Peter's decisions in that moment, that his fear and his acknowledgement of the powers of the world around them are not the thing that aligns with God's vision for the world. And that struggle and suffering are not a moment of separation from God, but part of what God is unfolding in being present absolutely everywhere. So Jesus draws a boundary, makes the space, tells Peter, tuck your fear into your pockets. And if Peter's like me, I'm sure he did that. He's scared and took with him all of his worry and his care and concern for his friend. And God, Jesus says, trust in me. Turn yourself toward me. Jesus tells the crowds, and Peter hears it too, about denying your cross and taking it up and following Jesus, about these complicated math problems about what we gain and what we lose and what is life and what is death. And Jesus is asking Peter to align himself, even as he carries with him all his fear and uncertainty, to align himself with the vision of God, to place his trust in what is happening, to place his trust in his teacher. So 6 days later, I don't think it's an accident that Peter is one of the three disciples invited to go up to the mountain with Jesus. I think there has probably been efforts at rebuilding all 6 days since they rebuked each other. And Jesus is looking at Peter and inviting him to continue to see God's vision. So Peter ends up on the mountain with James and John and Jesus, and this beautiful moment of transfiguration happens. There's blinding light and warmth and surprise and awe and amazement. And Jesus is offering to Peter an opportunity to just be in the presence of God, to see God's glory, to get a more clear vision of that so that the fear and the uncertainty can maybe stay in his pockets and not drive his decisions as things are not going to be getting any easier. And I think, bless him, Peter is looking to rebuild some of his trust with Jesus by saying, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I like building. I'm a big fan of that image this season. But Peter's falling into a trap that I often fall into. He's looking for something to do. It's easy to think that our doing gets us closer to God. But it is not in our doing that we get closer to God. God's movement is towards us. God's invitation to us was to the top of the mountain to see that incredible light. Sometimes I think that we think that if we're not doing anything, then God's not either. But in Jesus on that mountain, as the light is rising and shining, God is giving Peter the gift of being in the glory of God, being in awe of God's presence, and wrapping his trust in that, so that when they head back down the mountain, when there will be a lot of doing, he will have that memory. He'll be able to close his eyes and see the sun rising over the mountaintops. He'll be able to feel that combination of fear and amazement and carry it with him as he follows in Jesus' footsteps, trusting in his guidance and care and commitment to the entire world. Peter's the one who knows Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus rebuilt the trust of their relationship by bringing him up the mountain. and giving him this experience of being in God's presence. And God is giving us the opportunity in this season of Lent not only to think about how our trust is built in the space between human beings, God's beloved, but how we can absorb the beautiful glory and light of God's presence and hear God speak God's love for us from the heavens. Thanks be to God. Amen.